He's about to get on a plane to go to Washington, D.C. Hopefully that plane will take off on time. If not, you can just hang out with us a little longer. How about that, Norman?
That works.
You're always gracious with your time. When you have a break from Washington, you swing by our studios to kind of update us on a lot of things happening in Washington, D.C. We're going to start with this bill. You're going to reintroduce this bill to award Congressional Gold Medal to heroes behind Save Our Allies evacuation effort.
Yeah, and you know, you would think this is an easy task, Lucas. Why wouldn't you give a medal to those who are heroes who rescue people behind the lines? Corey Mills being one of the real heroes who rescued people, went to Afghanistan himself. They go to the danger areas and put their lives at risk. But this is a small thing that we can do. But everything's contentious in D.C., and I expect we'll have not much resistance, but we'll have some.
And of course, this is to honor the brave Americans who risked their lives during the 2021 evacuation of Afghanistan. What would be the opposition to this? Why would those on the other side of the aisle, I guess, push back against this?
They would use excuses, and it's just an excuse. Like, why don't we give some type of medal to on the January 6th guys that survived and women? All kind of things. You can always make an excuse to oppose something. But this is something that's good. It doesn't bring back the lives of those who are no longer with us, but it signifies their life was significant. They did what was heroic. And I think it'll pass, but it's we always have debate on it.
Well, it was a disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan that's still being discussed today. And you and others are hoping to reintroduce this bill to make sure that these Americans are not forgotten.
Not forgotten. And if you look at what the Biden administration did to leave valuable equipment, tanks, arms, trucks, left it over there. Again, this is a small recognition that the families deserve. And again, I think we'll get it. It's just going to take some debate and time.
All right, where are you on the Epstein files, and kind of maybe bring our audience up to speed on why this is such a talking point right now in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you know, the American people need to know the truth, just like there's always been a dark cloud over the Kennedy assassinations. And why was that hidden? And the Epstein files will be released. I think President Trump is getting a lot of heat over it. But I'm for total release. Transparency is the only answer for this. And, you know, we put up a resolution, the Republicans did. And the Democrats, you know, they don't give – if Donald Trump cured cancer, they would be against it. They think they've got some type of conspiracy that they can blame on Trump. It's not going to happen. He will release all the files in due time. You've had all the back and forth. You know, we heard Bongino supposedly get upset, Pam Bondi. But look, the American people are not going to let this die, and it will be out. And I think, and I hear that it's sooner rather than later. But there's files that have been hidden for a long time. There are lists that we've all heard about of those who were, you know, on the plane. But this is about transparency, but it's also about the abuse of young girls. I ran into one in the hallway who was in tears, who back when she said she was trafficked when she was 14 on Epstein's airplane. So that's why it's got to come out, and it will come out.
Once it's released, what will happen to the names on that list? Will they be investigated? Will a member of the law enforcement community or national intelligence knock on their door and say, I'd like to speak with you, your name appeared on the Epstein list?
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, you have a lot of young women who did not want to come forward. They did not want their name released, nor did they join in any type of litigation to bring it forward. They've got to be protected. But now those who have come out and said, I was trafficked, this is what happened, this is who took part in it, that ought to come out. And I think it will. But the privacy of those who didn't want it out, it will shock you, the ones that do not want anything out about it, they're embarrassed about it, they're living their lives now. They've gotten over it, or to the extent that they can. So, but it will be out, and the public's going to demand it, which is a good thing. The American people deserve to know, and they will. This will not die. Now, again, you've got your Trump haters who want any. They're grasping at anything to get this president on, but it'll be out there.
We're speaking with Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina's 5th Congressional District. Congressman Norman, this report was released over the weekend. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, declassified a report on the Obama administration's Russia hoax. Of course, the Russian collusion narrative dominated President Trump's first administration or first term in office. Gabbard says then-President Barack Obama and his national security team laid the groundwork for what would be the years-long Trump-Russia collusion probe.
Gabby Gifford is exactly right to do this. The fact that this, like the Epstein files, needs to come out. The Obama administration promoted something that just wasn't true. President Trump had to go impeachment, impeachment, impeachment over something. On the dossier, you had judges who went along with something. They didn't verify anything. And it was a paid for by the Democrat Party. And the fact that it went as far along as it did, but I've got news for you listeners. If the Democrats take control in the House, it's going to be the same thing all over again. Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And they'll make up stuff. The dossier and what happened with, you know, Russiagate, it just wasn't true. And, you know, you've got of your news media, when you have three or four that are blasting out, you know, corruption, this took place, versus maybe one or two that are giving the other side. You know, the news media is complicit with this. And so I think she's right in doing this, and I think she's right in bringing it up. And, again, let's let the American people see transparency in all forms of government. It's been hidden too long.
Tulsi Gabbard did say in the days that have come since this report, a lot of whistleblowers have come forward. What will come of this report? Will any hearings be had in Washington, D.C.? I feel like a lot of this information is always released, whether it's by Democrats or Republicans, and then it's talked about for a couple of days, and then we never hear anything about it ever again.
That's what's so frustrating to me. You can have all the hearings in the world, and yes, this will have hearings once you get all the information, but where are the consequences? When you find politicians who have covered things up, have basically lied to the American people, there needs to be a consequence to it. And it just hasn't been. I mean, you look at all the investigations, starting with Hillary Clinton, going all the way through January 6, where, you know, files were hidden. You couldn't have any Republicans on the other side. Nancy Pelosi wasn't brought to testify. But all that to say is now I think transparency, you'll see it in all levels, and they're demanding it. And the hearings, yes, I hope they take place. But they can't use the excuse that the judges will not rule in our favor. You'll never know unless you put it forward. And you never know until you make sure that all the facts are there and then let the facts speak.
Another story that has dominated the headlines and, of course, on social media has to do with the funding that's going to just stop for NPR and PBS. Kind of weigh in on that, and how does that impact South Carolina National Public Radio and South Carolina Public Broadcasting?
Well, PBS, you know, when you look at what that station, and I've been on all of them, PBS, they're one-sided. They give you loaded questions. They don't present both sides. And they have to compete as you have to compete. And for them, it goes through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They get $535 million in federal funding, $535 million. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So is that a core function of government? No. Just like so many of the other things that we found out in the rescission package, the $7,500 for electric cars, that's not the role of government. And you've got to rein it in. But one thing I've learned, every dollar has an advocate in Washington, D.C., and you can make up excuses why PBS ought to be on the air. That's fine, but don't prop them up. And, you know, what Elon Musk did to expose a lot of this, and I found out some – I mean, it's amazing, the dollars. We had $8.3 billion in foreign aid. A lot of it went to, I think it was $3 million, went to show Sesame Street in Iraq. I mean, is that a core function of government? No. But and also I'll say it's not like we're in the best financial system as a country. And we got to rein it in. And the American people are going to demand it. Conservatism and transparency have to be brought back, and we got to fight for it. Though one thing I've learned in D.C., you cannot just play nice and let's meet in the middle. No, when you have this type thing, it should not be close, but it is. And the Democrats again are leading off with the pure hatred of this president, and he's done so many great things that. You know, going to pay dividends on down the road.
How do you counter the conversation from Democrats on the funding of PBS and NPR that have saying that if these two go away or funding is slashed, they're going to have to reduce the number in their newsrooms? People, especially in rural America, will not get information, mainly weather reports and news reports that impact them.
You know, they say that. You know, could some rural areas be affected? Yes. Everything has a cause and effect. But now, is that the reason to fund $535 million of your tax-earned money? No. And for the Democrats to raise that up, it's the same thing they raised up in reconciliation, saying we cut Social Security. We did not cut Social Security. We couldn't. Medicaid. We didn't cut Medicaid recipients. We're trying to get more money for able-bodied Americans who deserve it, not able-bodied Americans who don't work or illegals. We fought that, and we'll fight it as long as we're up there. But it's a constant struggle to get people accountable, and really there's been no oversight in so many of these agencies. And I'm sure some of it affects rural areas, but if there's a need, other broadcast companies will fill that need. And, you know, AM radio, the broadcasting that you do, you put messages out and it will be, they're not going to lose that. They may have to lay off some people, but guess what? Every business in this country has to make adjustments. Every family budget has to make adjustments. And could some lose their jobs? Yes. But for everyone that loses a job for something that is not warranted, that's a good thing for this country.
Again, we're speaking with Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina's 5th Congressional District as we wrap up our conversation. Something is happening on Sunday, July the 27th, Congressman Norman, and it has to do with possibly your future in politics here in South Carolina.
It does affect my future in politics, and come out at 2:30. You need to come early because we've evidently got a great crowd. But no, I'll reveal what I'm doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and it'll be interesting, and I look forward to it. It's at 2:30 Sunday, Magnolia Room off Indy Hook Road.
And this, of course, is surrounding reports about the decision whether to or not to run for governor here in South Carolina.
That's what I've heard.
Let me ask you this. What would attract you to the top job here in South Carolina, the top political job? What makes the governor's job attractive in South Carolina?
South Carolina's at a crucial stage. We've got people moving here. Just think, the wayward states around this country, California leading it, New York, look what's happening there. Those people are making a judgment call with their feet. They're moving. And South Carolina has got to be ready, and we're not ready right now. It's the next 8 years going to be crucial to decide the future of this great state, and you've got to protect it. You've got to protect it, and we've got to do a lot of things, and that's what interests me. But Congress is interesting now under Trump. We're doing great things, and it's under the Biden administration, it was total disaster. Now we feel like we're making headway, and it's a great cause.
We'll be out there on Sunday, July the 27th, to see what the future holds for Congressman Ralph Norman. Thank you so much, Norman. We certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure.